This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas to the millions out there listening, watching around the world. Matt Youmans, Will Hill, VSiN Prime Time tonight. And Will at his home in Connecticut. I'm at the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Vegas. And we got a pretty good crowd here for tonight for the NFL triple header and NBA as well. And welcome Will into the show right now. Will, how was your Christmas with the family today?
Matt, great to be with you, man. It was awesome. Getting to do a four-hour show with you is all I wanted for Christmas. So now I get to unwrap that gift, and should be a fun show. Good to see you. I know I'm sure you had a fun time last night at the Hawaii Bowl, so should be a lot to discuss here in the show.
Yeah, just got back from Hawaii, had a chance to have a Christmas dinner, and made it to the studio this afternoon just in time for the show. And it was the Hawaii Bowl, I think, saved Christmas Eve for a lot of people. I know a lot of bettors who had the over, who had Hawaii. I'm sure there were plenty of people on the other side, but I know more on the over and on Hawaii. And, Will, that was the only game in America on Christmas Eve. And you being on the East Coast, did you stay up late? Did you complain about the late start time? And did you stay up late to watch the end of Hawaii's 35-31 comeback victory over Cal?
I did stay up to watch. There was no complaining. I love the Hawaii Bowl. It's a great feel Christmas Eve where you can just relax. It's the only game on. I would like a couple more bowl games on Christmas Eve or something. No college basketball, no NBA, but it was a fun game. I thought at 21-0, I had Hawaii, and that was a good call by you on the over. I thought my 21-0, my Hawaii ticket was in some trouble, but the backup quarterback comes in, throws a game-winning touchdown with 10 seconds left. An instant classic there in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, it was. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the bowl season coming up a little bit later. But Hawaii was down 21-0, roars back with a last-minute TD pass from the backup quarterback to win and knock off Cal last night, and it was a great finish. And nothing like a brawl on Christmas Eve. There was a brawl after the game between the teams, and it was an entertaining night, to say the least, in Honolulu. Will, you talk about a team that's in trouble right now. How about the Detroit Lions? What do you think's going on with the Lions? Obviously, they're on the brink of being eliminated from playoff contention. Right now, down 13-7 to Max Brosmer and the Vikings. And the live line at DraftKings is Vikings minus 2.5, total of 30.5. And this Detroit Lions offense, 2 weeks ago, was scoring over 30 points a game, number one in the NFL, has looked pretty weak the last 2 weeks.
It has, and they're trying to stay in it right now, and it's kind of interesting because you and I were doing the show that Thursday night, wow, back in July, the start of their season, the Hall of Fame game, and we might be here for the finish because they are now minus either 4 or 5 in turnovers. I didn't see how the last possession ended, but they just can't keep the ball. Minnesota has turned them over a number of times. Now, Minnesota can't do much with it. Max Brosmer and the Vikings had 1.6 yards per play on offense going into the half. They didn't get their first passing first down until 6 minutes left in the third quarter. So this has been some ugly football by Minnesota offensively, but their defense has been awesome. And right now, 13-7, Vikings have a lead. They have second and long. And with the way their defense is playing, you feel like if they can just get a field goal here, get into field goal range, it's going to be tough for Detroit to come back. But third and 24, they're certainly up against it right now.
I see you watching the screen at your home. So you have Netflix, and you watch Netflix a lot or what?
No, I usually watch sports, and I don't know how much of the Netflix coverage you watched today. It was not great. It was really not great. It was just, it cast a thousands of character. The announcers are terrible outside of Ian Eagle and his son, but you got to watch where the games are, so I do have it on right now.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix. I watched some of it today, but not at home. I don't have a Netflix subscription. I wonder how many people are missing the first two games today because they don't have it. In fact, here in the studio, believe it or not, the VSiN studio in Circa, we cannot get Netflix on any of the screens, so I cannot watch the game currently. I have to look over my shoulder back here in the book and see what's happening in that game. First one today, the Cowboys win but don't cover. 8.5, the closing number here at Circa. Dallas wins 30-23 at Washington. Does go over the total of 51. And, Will, you got to imagine there are a lot of bettors out there today that got all three favorites on a money line parlay, right? Cowboys, Lions, Broncos, and the Lions putting those in jeopardy as we speak. But the Cowboys, sometimes, when the pressure's off, when They don't have to sweat making the playoffs. They play their best. And it helps when you're playing a shorthanded Commanders team. Cowboys get the win, fail to cover. Dak Prescott, 307 passing yards and 2 touchdowns today. What was your main takeaway from that, and did you bet that game?
I had Cowboys on some teasers, so some of that is attached to Detroit. I do have Minnesota plus 7.5, so right now it looks like it's going to probably be a wash. And that game middled, because that game, if you remember, Matt, opened Cowboys like -5, -5.5.
Right.
Weren't sure who's going to play quarterback for Washington, got up to 7. That closed, like you said, 8.5, some 9s popped up. So that's one. If you just bet it at the right time, you won no matter who you bet. But I thought the Cowboys, you know, took care of business. Their offense is obviously really good. They're playing a third-string quarterback, and they're playing a lousy defense. So they're going to make a lot of teams look good. So other than that, no great takeaways. Washington got the backdoor cover. And I don't know if you saw that sequence, but they kicked the field goal on third down with all of their timeouts, north of the two-minute warning, with a pretty long field goal. Usually teams in that situation will try and get the touchdown and try to, you know, for better or for worse, try to get closer and try to get in the end zone. They said, you know what, let's get our field goal in here. Let's get our defense out there and try to get the ball back. So I didn't think it was the wrong decision. I just thought it was interesting. But like you said, Washington does get the cover based on the closing numbers.
Yeah, at circa, this number was 6.5 up until, all the way up to December 22nd. On the 23rd, it moved to 7. So hopefully if you bet the Cowboys, you bet it early, you laid 6.5 or less. And if you took the Commanders, you played at plus 7 or more. And I said that 7 was up to 9.5 in a lot of spots. Actually, close 8.5 here today. Cowboys win by 7. I did see that sequence. I was watching that. Dan Quinn is not a game management genius by any stretch, Will Hill. And we're seeing the same thing with another Dan, Caveman Dan Campbell here of the Lions. Now we're into the fourth quarter with the Lions down 13-7. And there's just there's no excuse for losing to a team with Max Brosmer at quarterback and having your offense put up 7 points. And by the way, that 7 came on a fourth down pass from Jared Goff into double coverage. It looked like he didn't have much of a chance, and it turned into a touchdown for the Lions. That's their only time getting on the scoreboard today. The late game tonight, Broncos and Chiefs, 13.5 is the number. Actually, Circa had hit 14 this morning. I was thinking about taking a 14 with the Chiefs and didn't do it. I said, I'll probably just bet this live. But the 4 teams are now gone except for, I think, one faraway book out there. It's pretty much 13.5, 12.5 at the Westgate Superbook. Total is low here, Will, 37.5. Chris Oladuck, and a quarterback for the Chiefs. It's how interesting is it, Will, that today we've got 3 home underdogs and all 3 are being led by third-string backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, interesting is certainly one word for it. These games, from an entertainment standpoint, just a pure entertainment standpoint, certainly took a hit. And you know, you mentioned that 3-team money line parlay on the favorites. The way it came out, if you did the math, at least Tuesday, Wednesday, before some of these lines started to spike, was like -120. So certainly an appealing avenue for a lot of bettors who want to have action on all 3 games. They don't want to lay a lot of points. They just say, you know what, all 3 of these teams, all they have to do is win. What could go wrong? Well, we're seeing right now in the Lions game, what could go wrong? I like the Chiefs in this game. I think it's too many points. I thought the Chiefs would roll over last week. I questioned their motivation, having just been eliminated, having lost Mahomes, being on the road against the dead Titans team. I think at home, Christmas, Kelsey's probably last home game, a bunch of those guys, maybe their last home game, new iteration of the Chiefs probably next year. I think we'll get their best punch. Is their best punch enough to keep them in it? I guess we'll find out. But to me, 13.5, 14 on the road for a Bronco team who just doesn't win by margin. They beat the Raiders a couple weeks ago by 7. They beat the Jets in London by 2. You know, they barely beat the Giants. They need to rally back to win that game by a point or two. They just don't separate. So I know what you're dealing with when you're talking about the Chiefs and their quarterback situation. It's just a completely ravaged team with injuries. But to me, this is too many points with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was this close to taking a 14 with KC. And last week I was anti-Chiefs and played the Titans, 3-point home dogs against KC. And the Titans won that game by 17. And I just reflected on how bad KC looked offensively. And I said, well, I'll just wait. Maybe I'll live bet this and get a better number than 14. But the Chiefs look like a team that quit a week ago. That said, I mentioned this many times. When you bet the NFL, a lot of times you have to bet the opposite of what you saw the week before. And it looked like the Chiefs had quit a week ago. It wouldn't surprise me if they show up and give a big effort tonight at home. They don't want to get embarrassed. They got a bunch of pros out there on the field tonight. They don't want to get embarrassed at home on Christmas night. I think KC will show up to play in this spot tonight, even with a third-string quarterback. And the Broncos obviously need the game. But again, the Broncos, like you said, have been walking a tightrope in a lot of these games. Their 11-game win streak just ended, but they had a bunch of close calls during that 11-game win streak. It wouldn't surprise me if they're going to sweat this one out tonight. But the 14s, at least here in Vegas, you can't find them right now, so you'll have to wait and live bet it if you want that number. The NBA was in action today, too. OKC Thunder go down again to the Spurs. Do you believe it? We'll ask Will Hill how concerned he is about his OKC Thunder bets. When we come back after the break, we got a great guest list. We appreciate all the guests who are willing to come on the show on Christmas. And you knew Super Dave Ross would say yes. When we asked Super Dave to be a guest on the show tonight, I said he's going to be fired up about the Cowboys. They're going to win in Washington. And that's the perfect guest to lead off the show. Super Dave Ross joins us here in 20 minutes, live from his home in north of Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff Benson of Circa Sports joins us here in hour number two. Obviously, a huge day for the Circa Survivor Contest, and Benson will have a lot to say about that. When you think NBA, you think Doug Kazarian. Well, when you think WNBA, you think about Doug, too. But NBA tonight, NFL, we'll talk to Doug about that in hour number three. And the final hour tonight, big Randy McKay hit a big jackpot on Christmas Eve. And I know he's got a couple NFL plays he likes a lot for Sunday. So there you go. Super Dave, Benson, Kazarian, and McKay on tonight's show, along with Will Hill. Quick break. We come back on VSIN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right now is the best time of the year for bettors, and the all-new Boomers Sportsbook is bringing you the action: football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomers mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, get minus 105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomers Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. And if you're betting the NBA, if you're betting it with Boomer right now, Golden State Warriors are up 102-93 over Dallas. You're going to have to sweat this one out in the final 9 minutes. Live number is Warriors minus 9.5, total of 239.5. Will Hill, how about the OKC Thunder? They go down to the Spurs for the third time this season. 117-112 was the final today in OKC. Ruined Christmas for all the OKC fans who thought they might get some revenge on the Spurs. Thunder went off as 11-point home favorites in this game, lost by 15. And, Will, I know you probably weren't glued to the TV watching this. You were dealing with Christmas with the family today. But how about the Spurs? What do you make of this team? Because I asked somebody, it might have been JVT a week ago, who can take down the Thunder a couple weeks ago. Who can take down the Thunder in the West? He said the Nuggets right away. Should we be seeing the Spurs right away? Are the Spurs the biggest threat to OKC in the West?
I mean, they're certainly a threat. It's hard to watch these games and see these results and just completely dismiss it. I know regular season basketball in the NBA can be a little bit misleading, but you would think you beat them once, all right, it happens. You beat them a second time, all right, this is something. And now you beat them a third time, second time in 3 days, in their building, and you beat them pretty comfortably. So you've beaten them at home, you've beaten them on the road, and you beat them on a neutral court. And this is all with Wembanyama not playing more than 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. The Spurs have arrived. We all know he's going to be a great player. It was just a matter of when this team was going to be good enough to compete and win a championship, not if, but with Stephon Castle, who we know from UConn, who's a championship-level player, a great defender. You throw in Wemby, you throw some of these younger guys, a couple veterans with Fox in these characters. They're here. They've arrived, and boy, I think I'd still pick the Thunder in a playoff series against the Spurs, but I don't know how you'd pick it with any confidence. You have to look at these results and just, you know, honor them and respect them. And This is real stuff from the Spurs. So I think they're legitimately a championship contender right now. You know, who's a bigger threat, them or Denver? I'd still say Denver, but not by much. I mean, this Thunder team is has really had some problems here with the Spurs.
No question. And Wimby played 26 minutes today, 19 points, 11 rebounds. He had a monster game on Christmas Day a year ago. Didn't put up those same type of numbers today, but the Spurs didn't need it. They are now 23-7. OKC 26-5 after today's loss. And aside from Wimby, you had De'Aaron Fox with 29 points, Stephon Castle with 19, Harrison Barnes 15, and Dylan Harper, the rookie from Rutgers, off the bench with 12. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does this almost every game. 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, but he did not hit the three today. He was 1-for-6, 7-for-8 at the free throw line. And the Thunder, how about this, Will? 11-for-44 from three-point range. Not going to be good enough.
Somebody asked, I forget, it was SGA or one of the players, hey, why do the Spurs give you a hard time? And the guy just looked at him like he was crazy and kind of smirked. He goes, they got a guy that's 7'5". He's pretty good. I mean, what else can you say? The guy's a monster player. You're throwing Castle, you're throwing some of these other guys. It's a hell of a team. And if you told me right now the Spurs are the team coming out of the West in June, I'd be a little bit surprised. But how could you be shocked? I mean, three times in 11 or 12 days, a couple of these pretty comfortably. This is super impressive by the Spurs.
How about the Knicks? They were 4-point home favorites today, 3.5 at DraftKings, 4.5 at some other spots. We'll call it 4, but they win by 2. Knicks 126-124 over the Cavs at the Garden, and the Garden usually the starting point for Christmas Day for the NBA. Jalen Brunson with 34 points to counter Donovan Mitchell with 34, 7-6 for the Cavs. The Knicks are now 21-9, 15-2 at home. Who's the favorite to win the East, Will? And do you think the Knicks are going to be right there at the end?
It's hard not to say the Pistons with their record, but I think I'd still go with the Knicks just because they've been there. They've done that. The Garden is a real home field, a real home court advantage. Brunson in a big game, I trust more than anything probably Detroit has, although Detroit gave them a hell of a series and probably could have beaten them last year. A play here, a play there. They let a lot of those games slip away. So I would say the Knicks, but it should be a pretty competitive Eastern Conference Finals with the Knicks, with the Cavs. Remember before the season, I think most people, if you ask most people, what's the Eastern Conference Finals? I think most people would have said Cavs versus Knicks, but you throw the Pistons in there. The Celtics, maybe if they can get Tatum back, pretty wide open East, but I would say the Knicks are the favorite. And by the way, I had a horrible beat on this game. I don't know if anyone else had it. I usually play these first quarter unders on the super early NBA starts. These guys are a little sleepy. They're not in the routine. It was 59.5. It was 20-9 with like 4:08 left in the first quarter. And they scored with 32 points in the last like 4 minutes
You've
and five seconds
be kidding.
To go over. Nobody missed a shot. It was just incredible.
Did you slam your fist on the table and shout a bunch of expletives while your family's around eating Christmas lunch? No? Huh?
No, I just silently stewed. It just happened. It happened in slow motion where you just kind of knew it was going to happen. It was unbelievable. It was just one shot after another. I mean, it's 20-9 with like 4:08 left and to go over. And I think they ended up with like 61 or 62 points. They hit a three on the last possession. That's what you get for betting the NBA, I guess.
Nothing can ruin your Christmas morning like betting the NBA games. The Warriors, if you laid 9 or 9.5, that's pretty much a closing number. It's right on the number, essentially, here late in the game in San Francisco. It's 104-97. The Mavericks just scored. So we got a 7-point game with 7 minutes to go. Golden State trying to hold on, and we got 2 more games tonight in the association. Rockets and Lakers. Rockets 2.5-point favorites, total of 233. That's the game on deck about a little less than an hour from now in L.A., and then the nightcap, Minnesota and Denver. T-Wolves and Nuggets will go at it with Nuggets 1.5-point home favorites, total of 238.5. Again, Doug Kazarian is going to be on in the third hour tonight to talk some association and NFL, maybe some bowl games as well. But, Will, any other NBA bets you had that might have ruined your Christmas day?
No. One was enough. So, no, I can't imagine you had too much action on any of this NBA slate either, did you?
None. After sweating out the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve and everything, that was somewhat stressful, let's put it that way. And then flying back today, the last thing I wanted to do was bet the NBA. And we'll update you on the Detroit Lions right now as I turn around to Sportsbook to see where we are in the game. 3rd and 8. Looks like the Lions are trying to drive. They're down 13-7 with 4:47 to go at DraftKings. Vikings 3.5-point favorites live. Total 25.5. The live total 25.5. Will, are you watching the screen? I can't see it. Where are the Vikings on the field right now?
So the Lions have the ball, and they are about to kick, I'd say, like a 45-yard field goal at 13-7, trying to make it 13-10. With the way the Vikings offense is played, not a bad play here. If you can get it to 13-10, you figure we can get the ball back, get in the field goal range, and maybe force overtime. The kick is up. It's on its way, and it is good. So we have a 13-10 game, 4:39 left. And if you look at this box score, Matt, you're not going to see too many box scores all year like this. This was prior to this drive, so it's a little better. Detroit had 149 yards of offense, 3 yards per play. The Vikings had 75 yards of offense, 1.8 yards per play. There has been no offense in this game. We basically have a 240, 250 yards of offense combined in this game. Nobody has done a damn thing on offense between these two teams.
Yeah, not the showcase game that the NFL needs for this nation on Christmas Day with Jared Goff and Max Brosmer not exactly lighting it up. Goff has been picked off twice. Lions have had fumble issues. Max Brosmer, 41 yards passing. He has been sacked 7 times. Goff has been sacked 5 times. They have 12 sacks in the game and a total of 23 points right now, 13-10, 4.5 minutes to go. Dan Campbell did settle for the field goal there, hoping to get the ball back and probably get another field goal attempt to tie the game and force overtime. But what's happened to this Detroit offensive line, Will? When you think about how dominant this Detroit line was in the running game, and right now the Lions have 29 carries for 68 yards, 2.3 yards per carry, and a running attack just has not been there for Detroit. And that's a part of this team's downfall, even though there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, and it's not the same offensive line as last year. They're on like their third string center. Mm-hmm. So when you start to go on like third string offensive lineman and that's your strength, that's just it's just not going to be your strength anymore. I'm not enough of an X's and O's guys to know how much of it's Ben Johnson, how much of it's the play calling, but I think it's probably fair to say it's a combination of all those things. Injuries, you know, different play caller, loss of Ben Johnson, all those things add up to an offense that's still fine. I mean, they've been pretty good on offense this year in terms of scoring yards per play. It's the defense that's killed them, and now they've gotten, for the second year in a row, just a ton of injuries on both sides of the ball.
Well, in the past month, the Lions have only been able to defeat one team, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Speaking of the Cowboys, super fan, Dave Ross is going to join us next to talk NFL and everything else. Super Dave Ross on Christmas. What more could you ask for? We'll be back in a couple minutes with Dave here on VSIN Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome back. Disaster if you bet the Detroit Lions. It's not going well. We'll give you an update on that in a minute. Matt Humans and Will Hill here on VSIN Primetime. And let's go out to the Progressive guest line. We're going to be joined by one of the most popular men in Kentucky, Super Dave Ross, host of VSIN by the Books. There he is. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Dave, Merry Christmas to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you for the intro. It was great having you in town here. I think you're more popular than I am, certainly in Nashville. I witnessed that up close and personal. Will, I call Will the king of Connecticut. I don't know what to call Matt these days. You're the king of everything. You go to Hawaii, you're big time there. You come to Nashville, you run into my stomping grounds here, and I'm second fiddle. Boys, it's been a great Christmas so far. Merry Christmas to you guys. Obviously, very happy with that Cowboy win, but guys, very disappointed with this Lions loss because it's going to knock me out if they don't rally here. I had the over 9.5, and I felt pretty good because they never lose 2 games in a row. They're about to lose 3 games in a row, and that's going to be on ice.
I was going to say, what do you make of the Lions at this point? What do you think the problems are? Obviously, the offensive line is not dominant for Detroit like it used to be. The running attack is not there. Dan Campbell is now the play caller. Has Caveman Dan been exposed a little bit here without his coordinators? And Will and Dave both, this is just a really disappointing loss for the Lions against Max Brosmer, a quarterback. The Vikings had little to no offense in this game and now just produced a touchdown. Will, I believe you said on a reverse to go up 20-10. Super Dave, it looks like the Lions are not going to return to the playoffs.
You turn it over five times, guys, like they did today, and you've got no shot to win. Matt, you mentioned it up front. I mean, this is the thing for Dan Campbell, right? He's going to go to 2-6 as a play caller when he took over the duties earlier in the year over Johnny Morton. And that was interesting at the time because I remember thinking at the time, what's wrong with Johnny Morton? They're scoring a ton of points. Why would he take over the offensive play calling duties? And now he's 2-6 on the verge of losing three games in a row here as the offensive play caller. Dan, that's not a good look. They were dominant up front on both sides of the ball when they were winning. I know we can always talk about the secondary, and they've had a lot of injuries there and clusters. We get that. But up front is where they got beat by Pittsburgh. Up front, twice now, it looks like they're going to get beat by Minnesota. And Brian Flores, well, we were talking about it too. You know this as a Vikings guy. He seems to get the better of this chess match, if you want to call it that, because right now it looks like checkmate. Brian Flores over Dan Campbell, no matter what iteration of. And right now, just not looking good. Dan Campbell's going to have to go back and look in the mirror. Not to say that their window is closed, but is closing fast. And if they don't figure it out up front next year, offensively, you can get everybody healthy against defensively. This can't be what it looks like offensively if you're Dan Campbell for next year, because this year it looks like it's curtains.
Yeah, you're right. Building the offensive line is going to have to be a priority. And Dave, I mentioned this earlier. I wonder how many people today bet money line parlays on the favorites, right? Talking about the Cowboys on the road, the Lions on the road, Broncos on the road, because they're all facing third string quarterbacks when you look at the home underdog state. Did you get sucked in on that? Did you bet on the Lions today?
I, in a tease, and guys, I felt like a genius because I played this early in the week when Detroit was 6.5 point favorites. So I teased it down to a half with not my team, not your team, America's team. When they were 6.5 point favorites, teased that down to a half. I get the first one in, baby, and we're sitting pretty. Now, had I been thinking, gentlemen, instead of drinking too much eggnog today, what I could have done at that point was come back in the Vikings plus 7.5, 8. At that point, had a nice little middle that we could have operated from. But no, I had to let it ride, boys, because the Lions aren't going to lose twice to the Vikings. They're not going to lose to Max Brosmer. And here I am now. I'm going to need some more eggnog with a little bit of spirits in it before I watch this Chiefs game here with Chris Oladokun going up against Bo Nix.
Dave, let's get to that Chief game tonight. I thought last week it was going to be a spotty situation for them in terms of effort. They just got eliminated. No Mahomes. But I could see them playing up this week. They're home. It's a lot of points. What do you expect in this game?
Right there with you, Will. That was my favorite play of the week last week was Tennessee. And I told people you should look at alt numbers here and play Tennessee and give up points. And all that got home with no problem at all. I'm going to hold my nose and take Chris Oladokun and the Chiefs in this spot, Will, for a lot of the reasons you just gave out. And talked about it this morning on By the Books with Jensen Lewis. I do think professional pride at some point, especially for Steve Spagnuolo, is going to certainly take into effect today. And look, does the Broncos offense, even when they're fully healthy, does that really scare you that much? Enough that you want to lay two touchdowns on the road against Kansas City? And I look, we know there's no Patrick Mahomes. There's no Gardner Minshew. You got Oladokun, who looked like he can use his legs a little bit out there. The Chiefs fan base has got to be pretty melancholy for many reasons. The injury to Mahomes, you've been eliminated from the postseason, and you're going to lose your team to the state of Kansas in 2031. It's been quite the 2 weeks for the Chiefs fan base. So if they're going to have a semblance of a Merry Christmas, I think it starts defensively tonight for Spags and company. And then look for Andy Reid to say, and I know that fans might not get excited about it, bettors might not get excited about it, but Andy Reid does. That he wants to show what he can do with a guy that none of us have seen, really, in Chris Oladokun, and show why Andy Reid is going to go to the Hall of Fame one day as one of the best offensive masterminds that we at least give him credit to be. So I think he looks at that as a challenge, and let's make no bones about it. Sean Payton, Andy Reid, I don't think there's a lot of love lost between these two teams. Don't you think the Chiefs would love it to play spoiler if they could help out? Not that they want to help out the Chargers, but just to hurt Sean Payton and the Broncos. So I do look for the best effort from the Chiefs, and I'm taking the 13.5 tonight at home.
How about the AFC in general, big picture? It's about as wide open a conference as I can remember. I think if you ask 7 or 8 different people, you get 7 different answers. Who do you like ultimately to come out of the AFC 6 weeks from now?
Great question, Will. I cannot give you a hard, firm answer on a team that I truly believe in. I think a numbers play that I would look at would be the Patriots at about 10 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. They do feel balanced to me. And I don't know how good. I know that Drake May is playing at an MVP level. I don't think he's going to win it. I think that's going to be Matty Stafford's to lose here. Obviously, he's a $2 betting favorite with two to play. But can he really do that in the second season? We haven't seen that yet out of Drake May, obviously, because he's only been in the league here for a couple of years. But Mike Vrabel's been there. He was a number one seed with Tennessee, got them all the way to a championship game against the Chiefs way back in the day with Ryan Tannehill, and they actually led that game 17-0. So he does have that type of experience. If they can get the one seed potentially, and you're giving me 10-1 on a future number today at least to win a Super Bowl, that'd probably be the value pick, if you want to call it value, that I'd have to roll with the Patriots at double digits. Everybody else, and I mean everybody else, even the Bills as a wild card, do I really trust them at a shorter number? What, $3.50, $4? I don't think so. I don't think that's long enough for me. So if you made me play it, which I have not, I would take the Patriots at 10-1.
Dave Ross, host of VSiN by the Books with us. And Super Dave, is your beard always that gray, or you just let it go gray for Christmas to kind of look like Santa Claus?
You know, I haven't gotten that yet, Matt. No, like niece or nephew has said, hey, Uncle Dave, can you play Santa Claus this year? Mm-hmm. But I think if I keep going for the Wes Reynolds look here as it keeps coming in full, maybe this time next year, if I don't cut it, I could play Santa.
You probably could. Hey, do you have Netflix at your place there north of Nashville, or did you have to drive up to the Circus Sportsbook to watch the Cowboys game today?
I wasn't going to pay for a yet another streaming app that, Matt, tomorrow I'd probably never use again. So I drove up to the Mint Gaming Hall. You and I watched some football there. We watched Army-Navy together, brother. It was so much fun. And it's a good crowd up there tonight. And, you know, having all the games there, the two on Netflix, they're going to have the other one here on Amazon Prime coming up. And it was a good crowd. Of course, I was happy to see the Cowboys. And Malik Davis really made my Christmas very profitable. Guys, I gave it out this morning. It was my favorite play of the day. I don't do this very often. I'm not a prop player. I'm normally a generic, old-school sides and totals guy. And I saw Malik Davis today at plus money at plus $1.25. I laddered him up 30, 40, 50, and 60 yards. And the 60-yard number was plus 875. Put half-unit plays on all those guys. And it turned out to be a really nice score today as he got 100 yards. I wish I could have kept layering it up. That's as far as they let me layer it four ways here, all at plus money. But that was really, look, I would have loved to have seen the Cowboys cover, but I just had them in a teaser anyway. I do have the Cowboys over 7.5. They're stuck at 7 now. So next week's game is meaningless to everybody else except me. I need them to beat the Giants and get that win total to 8 and cash that ticket that I had from the preseason.
You also need Dak Prescott to lead the NFL in passing yards. I believe you got that future, and there's a lot potentially riding on that, right?
I think you and I, Matt, might be 1-2 in the first ever VSiN fantasy. We did the futures draft here in the preseason here on the network. And if I can get that one home, I might be able to run you down. I don't know if I can get there, how much is he going to play. And Matt Stafford, who was leading the league coming into the week with 4 yards ahead of Super Dak Prescott, if he needs to do it, you know they're going to air it out. So I don't know if that's going to get there 9-1. It's been a fun ticket to have all year.
Super Dave Ross, nice job on your props today, and it looks like you cashed 5 times, I believe, on that Cowboys-Commanders game. Love the Christmas sweater. Look at that Christmas
Tennessee,
sweater.
Tennessee, Matt.
A Tennessee theme.
I got it at Walmart, $15.
Did
best
you really?
Best purchase I've had all year.
All right. Well, good luck cashing with the Chiefs tonight, plus 13.5. Dave, always great to see you, man. Have a great night.
Appreciate you, boys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dave.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, hopefully you got your Christmas shopping done by now, but if you don't, here's your last shot. A smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season? Be a VSiN Pro subscriber. The holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access all the way through May 1st for just $79. You can buy it today and have it in the stocking tonight. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and we're going to cover everything for you from the bowl season, NFL playoffs, March Madness, NBA playoffs, the Masters. Plus, you get our college football playoff betting guide right now, and the biggest games are coming up next week. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. vsin.com/subscribe or give the gift to a friend. vsin.com/subscribe. Will Hill, Golden State Warriors have won and covered. How about that? They had to sweat it out in the final minute there. The Warriors closed 9.5-point favorites, and they win 126-116. Talk about a tight cover on Christmas Day, but the Warriors get it. And I wonder if I did not notice if there was a argument or any sort of fight between Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, but probably not on Christmas Day. Also, the Detroit Lions are about to be finished off here. Vikings up 23-10. Lions close 7.5-point favorites here at Circa Sports. And it's gotten ugly here in the fourth quarter. Talked about that live total as low as 25.5. Vikings have, Will Hill, the Vikings have scored 10 points in the fourth quarter, and the Lions have completely unraveled. And I posed a question to you during the break. What is this going to do to the Vikings season win total? Because I believe it was 8.5 or 9, right in that neighborhood. I've got to double check where I played that before the season. But the Vikings are now a threat to go over their season win total, right?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was 8.5 or 9. I'm sure you could have found
probably
books
both.
You know, either way. It's hard to think coming off a 14-3 season. I'm trying to think, was it really 8.5? I know they were due for some regression, but 8.5 seems like it would have been a little low. And for people that have these bets, like I know Mike Palm had Vikings to finish last at a pretty good number. The Vikings are no longer in last place. The Vikings are going to be 8-8. The Lions are going to be 8-8. Mm-hmm. But the Vikings beat them head-to-head both games. So that puts the Vikings in third place and puts the Lions in last place. I can't imagine what kind of price you would have gotten on the Lions to finish last coming into the season, coming off the year they had at 15-2 and off of a one seed. This puts Green Bay in. This eliminates Detroit. So we now have our seven teams in the NFL in the NFC playoffs. So we still have some seeding to decide, the one seed, the divisions, things like that. But I can't remember a year where so much has been decided so early, where we already know right. The seven teams with a couple weeks still to be played.
No, you're right about that, too. The Vikings have won 4 in a row to get to 8-8. The Lions have lost 4 of the past 5. The only team they beat, like I talked about during that stretch, was the Cowboys. And Vikings, Lions now 8-8, the bottom of the NFC North. Well, the Giants and the Raiders at the bottom of the NFL. Both teams are 2-13 on 9-game losing streaks. And this game is going to take place in Vegas on Sunday afternoon. Right now, the Giants are 1 or 1.5-point road favorites. Total of 41.5. Will Hill, a lot of different ways to look at this game. I'm curious how you're looking at it. By the way, the Raiders have shut down Brock Bowers for the season. So their best offensive player is not going to be on the field. If you want to say the Raiders are tanking, they're trying to lose by shutting down Bowers, I guess you could say that. I don't know if it's true. I know Bowers has had knee problems all season, and the best thing for the team and for Bowers is to shut him down. That doesn't mean the Raiders are trying to lose. Will, what do you think the Raiders are going to try to accomplish in this game, and what about the Giants? Because these teams are vying for the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, it benefits both of them to lose. Even if you're the Giants, even if you have no interest in drafting a quarterback, you either, you know, maybe you draft Bain from Miami, maybe you trade down. But we've seen this time and again, players don't tank. The Patriots hurt their draft position a couple years ago by winning on the last day of the season. I think that was maybe last year with Gerard Mayo. A couple years ago, remember the Houston Texans, Lovie Smith, his last game, where it would have helped them to lose. They won and it hurt their draft position. I think it cost the number one pick. So these players, it's not the NBA, it's not basketball. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get somebody else hurt or worse if you don't try physically. These guys are going to try, but you put out a product that maybe is less than desirable. If I had to bet anything, I would bet the under. Raiders dead last in scoring. Giants not too much better than that. And if you look, Jackson Dart, since Dable's been fired, he doesn't run as much. He hasn't been really productive. I know last week it was Flores who can do a number on young quarterbacks, can do a number on veteran quarterbacks as we're seeing today. So Dart hasn't played well. No Bowers. To me, this is an under. I think this is an ugly like 20-13, 20-17 type of game. So I haven't bet it. If I had to play anything, I would play the under. I do think at 1.5, it's a pretty good teaser leg because you figure it'd be a close game. What are your thoughts on this game, if anything?
Yeah, the Raiders last in the league in scoring offense, 14.5 points a game. I'm pretty sure that the Giants coaches told Jackson Dart, you got to stop running. You can't continue to take hits like that. And he's already had a concussion issue this early in his career, and you hate to see that for a young quarterback. You know, I've thought about this in the last couple weeks. You know, I'm a big Jackson Dart proponent, and I have been since college. I thought the Giants did a great thing by trading up in the first round to get him. Is it out of the question, Will, that maybe the Giants have fallen out of love with him as the franchise quarterback and might look at a quarterback if they love Mendoza, if they love Dante Moore, and say, hey, we could trade Jackson Dart and draft a quarterback in that, you know, number one or number two spot? Is there any chance that could happen, or is there no way? Do you think the Giants are fully committed to Dart in the future?
I would consider all options, but I would consider that unlikely. Wouldn't you? He's been pretty good. I mean, it's so hard to find these quarterbacks, and I know he hasn't played well recently, but when you think you have a glimpse of a quarterback, and he has played pretty well, and you could say, you know what, no Neighbors, no Cam Scatabo. Mm-hmm. They get those guys back next year. I know it's a pretty tough division with Philly, Jaden Daniels coming back, and Dallas has obviously a good offense. That's the makings. You and I both like their draft, even though I think we both like their underseason win total. I'd probably defer to them giving Dart another shot. I think he showed enough where you consider all options. I guess if you love Mendoza, you'd think about it, or love one of these other guys. But I think that's probably a heavy, heavy underdog. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think the Giants – actually, I expected more from the Giants this season. They just got ravaged by injuries and didn't really – and they lost so many games they should have won, too, early in the season. And then things snowballed and went from bad to worse for that team. I said I've been a longtime Jackson Dart proponent, but there's some things about him I don't like that I've seen recently. One is he just doesn't know how to protect himself. He wants to run too much with reckless abandon and take those hits, and he can't do it. When you got a young quarterback with concussion issues, that's a problem. It could be a problem down the road. Also, I mentioned that he looks like he's more serious about being a fashion model than he is a franchise quarterback. And some of those tendencies he's shown. Did you see him in the post-game press conference a couple weeks ago when he was flipping his hair like a teenage model? It was, and he wears the jewelry on the field and things like that. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's not what I want to see in a leader as a quarterback. And I've said it reminds me of what Butch Harmon said to Ricky Fowler a long time ago. When Fowler was, you know, he cared more about the outfits. By the way, some of the outfits that Dart's been wearing to the games have been ridiculous. I hate to see stuff like that. But anyway, I'm old school as far as that goes. Butch Harmon told Ricky Fowler years ago, do you want to be a golf professional and win majors, or do you want to be a Kardashian? And I think Jackson Dart kind of wants to be a Kardashian. And I don't like that part of it, Will. Have you seen that from him?
I'm with you. I'm old school too, and that's the human element of it, where you got a young kid, a lot of money, a lot of attention, New York City. You know what? Maybe if he's in Tennessee or Jacksonville, maybe these issues aren't present, but in New York, the spotlight's on you, and a lot of media, a lot of eyeballs, and I'm with you. I think, I don't know. Is that enough for you? If you're in charge of the Giants, do you draft Mendoza? Do you draft Moore? Or you just say, you know what? I don't like what I've seen from Dart the last month or so, but I got to take the good with the bad and kind of stick with him here.
Well, it's on the table. That's what I'm saying. It's not unthinkable that the Giants could actually trade Dart and draft a quarterback, because even I've been one of his biggest fans for a long time. I'm seeing a lot of things I don't like in Jackson Dart and starting to sour on him a little bit as a franchise quarterback of the future. But I think it's something the Giants are definitely going to consider, let's put it that way, or should consider. But that entire organization, Will, is in complete chaos, right? You don't have a GM. You don't have a coach. You have no idea where you're headed for the future. And the guy who drafted Jackson Dart was Brian Daboll, and he's gone. So when you look at the Giants and the Raiders right now, you're going to be hard-pressed to find two more dysfunctional organizations than those, and they just happen to be on 9-game losing streaks, vying for the number one pick and playing in Las Vegas on Sunday afternoon. The irony and that, how about that? The Giants are 1 or 1.5 point favorites. Brock Bowers, like you said, shut down for the Raiders. We're going to talk about the Steelers and the Browns in the second hour. We're getting closer to kickoff between the Broncos and the Chiefs. Hey, the Chiefs have not been home underdogs this big since 1977 when they faced Snake Stabler and the Raiders. 13.5 is the number right now. We'll be back with kickoff and a preview of KC and Denver. Stay tuned, the Sports Betting Network.